The Fed is scheduled to meet next week. Will it lower interest rates again? Hi, I'm Rob West. With one rate cut already on the books and perhaps two more coming before the end of the year, folks are wondering what effect all this will have on mortgages and home sales. Dale Vermillion joins us today to talk about it. And then we'll be taking your questions on mortgages and the housing market for a first portion of the broadcast at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, Dale Vermillion is a frequent contributor here on the program, and if there's something he doesn't know about mortgages, well, we haven't found it yet. Dale's the author of The Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. It's probably the only book out there, at least the ones that I know of, about home financing that's based on biblical principles. Dale, great to have you back with us.
Rob, always an honor to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Dale, last month, the Fed lowered interest rates by 0.5%, as you well know. That was double what was expected. It, of course, takes a while for rate cuts to ripple through the system, if you will. Has it had much of an impact on mortgage rates, either first time or refi?
Really not at all. The interest rate reduction that we got was actually weeks before the Fed cut their rates. Those rates are based on consumer loans, not on mortgage loans. The bond market drives that, and inflation drives that. Actually, what we've seen is rates have actually hiked back up, and they just crossed 7% on October 28th for the first time since the start of the summer. So we were down to almost 6%. We're back up to 7%, and probably won't see a lot of change until after this election's over.
All right. Let's talk about the year ahead, Dale. Where do you think rates are headed? And here we, you know, if we were sitting here a year from now, what's your best estimate?
You know, best estimate, and this is based on multiple analysts, multiple conferences that I've been at over the last couple of weeks. Best guess is we're going to be somewhere in the high fives, low sixes, probably by this time next year, with the hope that by 2026, we're going to see rates creep probably in the mid fives to low fives. We don't expect to see the 3% and 4% rates anytime soon.
Yeah. But that is a breath of fresh air. Even the idea that we could be, you know, low sixes, even a five handle on that would be, you know, perhaps a couple of points or at least a point and a half lower than where a lot of folks have been over the last 18 months or so. That means all of a sudden the refi conversation is in play potentially, right?
It does. For many people, we're looking at over 5 million people who have rates over 5.5% right now. So if we get back down there, you've got a lot of those that come into play for a rate and term refi that could lower that down. And you could do something like a VA IRL where there's very little cost, if any, to that loan, or an FHA streamline at that point. So you can really keep your costs low, but still get that rate reduced, that payment down. The key is you don't want to extend your term. That's the one thing that we always talk about on the show, because you don't want to re-extend. You don't want to lower your payments, but then re-extend what you just paid for the last 2 or 2.5 years, because all you're doing is paying it all over again, and it wipes out any savings you would have created.
Yeah, unpack that a bit more, Dale, just in terms of how an amortized mortgage works and why, if you're 5 years into a 30-year mortgage, the last thing you want to do is start over with a new 30 years.
Yeah, well, think of it this way. If you have a $2,000 mortgage payment and you have been in that home for 3 years, you've paid $72,000 in payments, which you've probably only received a principal reduction of about $7,000 to $10,000 of that. So all the rest has gone to interest. If you turn around and you go back to a 30-year loan, you're going to repay that all over again at your new mortgage payment. So it not only affects your retirement and affects when you pay off, but you're going to pay up literally tens of thousands of dollars in interest that you don't need to pay, so it wipes out any savings you create. What you want to do is ask your lender. A lot of lenders today can do odd-term loans, meaning they can do a 27, 26, 23, whatever you need them to do, they can do it. If they can't, they can do them in five-year increments.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I think a lot of what people don't realize is that with that amortized loan, that mortgage is front, the interest is front loaded. So as you get further into that loan, clearly more and more going to principal reduction, that's essential. If we start that over, that's going to work against you. And what Dale said there is key. They'll do these odd term loans. We don't automatically have to go 15 or 30. There may be something else for you that allows you to kind of preserve those years of high interest and low principal in terms of the ratio from each payment. Well, we're just getting started. Dale Vermillion here today. He's the author of The Mortgage Maze. We'll continue to talk about mortgages, where it's headed, but also what's going on with the housing market as well. We'll be taking your calls on this topic at 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's that day again. Hordes of children traipsing through neighborhoods knocking on doors. For candy-loving kids, this day is a highlight. But for Christians around the world, this day is a highlight for another reason entirely. On this day, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of his local church. And a chief concern for him was the free grace of the gospel. It was the good news people were not hearing in his day. He didn't believe you could buy salvation, and he preached this truth from Romans 1:17, the righteous will live by faith. Because salvation cannot be earned. It's a free gift from God on the basis of faith. And that is good news for sinners like you and me. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Just visit getanchor.com.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we have with American Family Radio. We share a common goal to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoons at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Find help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We want to help you each day navigate your financial life, offering hope and encouragement, also being reverent as we approach God's Word, but also wise and practical, helping you make those daily decisions. Today, at least for the first portion of the broadcast, we're focused on the housing markets and specifically mortgages. Where is the mortgage market headed? Where are rates headed? We've got a Fed meeting right around the corner. What will happen with that, and how might that trickle down any action into mortgage rates, either increasing, staying the same, or declining? Dale Vermillion is here today. He's our go-to guy on the housing market and mortgages. He's the author of The Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. And Dale, before the break, you were sharing that we saw a dip in mortgage rates. We also saw them tick back up. We're now sitting at around 7%, perhaps slightly higher. That's discouraging because some folks were planning on the fact that as soon as the Fed started cutting rates, the rates would really start dropping. And although we saw that, it did tick back up. You're thinking, best guess, and I know it, nobody knows for sure, but perhaps a year from now, we're sitting here in the low sixes, maybe even high fives. That all of a sudden puts a refi in play. A couple of questions on that. You were very clear. if you consider it, don't ever reset the term. So you're 5 years into a 30, don't go back to a new 30. But let's talk about how much of a reduction in interest rate is really needed for you to justify the refi in the first place, because there's an expense to this.
There is. And that's the key, is you have to look at what is your cost going to be to do the transaction. And you can get that number very easily. Then take and look at what the reduction is going to be in your payment, assuming, again, that you're going to match the term you're at. By the way, let me say one more thing about that real quick, Rob. If a lender doesn't have an odd term loan, they're probably going to have 30, 25, 20, and 15. So let's say you're 27 years remaining. You can either go to the 25 and then you're cutting more off your term, or you can just pay the 27-year payment if you get a 30 and you're going to pay off in that time. So it still creates the same benefit for you. So now when you're looking at refinancing, you just want to look and say, okay, if I'm keeping the term the same and my payments are going down, how much am I saving and what's my break even? Your break even is how many months does it take for you to pay the fees and the cost for that loan? Everything after that is profit. And as long as you know, let's say that break even is 14 months or 18 months. As long as you know you're going to be in that home for that period of time, it makes sense to do it. And then the next time rates come around and drop, which they're going to do, then you can do it again. It's all really being strategic about your approach and be biblical. Pray through this process like everything else.
Yeah, that's really helpful advice, Dale. You mentioned that there are options out there to get that cost down on the refi. You mentioned some specific approaches for that, because to your point, if we can get the cost down, that makes the break-even point happen much sooner, which is obviously the key. What are those products that offer low-cost refinancing?
Yeah, so if you're a veteran, the VA IRRL program, that's IRRL. We always think it's EARL, but it's IRRL. Hmm. That program will set you up so you can just refinance at a lower rate, and there is minimal or no cost, depending on the lender, with that program. And then the other one is the FHA Streamline program, where you can go if you have an FHA loan and you can streamline that program. There are some requirements you have to go through. You'll have to talk to your lender about that. You have to be in the mortgage for a certain period of time and some other things. But if you qualify, that's a great way to go, where you're really minimizing your costs.
Dale, is it appropriate to go to your existing lender and say, listen, if I'm willing to stay with you, I just want you to kind of reset it at a lower rate, and, you know, hopefully get the cost down? I mean, do they look at that opportunity?
Yes, that's where you want to start. And then once you get the quote from them, you want to make sure you talk to another lender or two. It's important to remember Proverbs 15:22 here. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. The key is make sure you're comparing an apple to an apple. Get written offers from everybody. Make sure you've completed the application process. Don't just call and get a quote, because anybody can quote you anything. You need to make sure that you've gone through the process of them looking at your credit, verifying what you owe, verifying what your income is, if you're going to compare offers, because you want to make sure that you're actually comparing something you've been actually approved for.
Yeah. All right. Dale, let's talk about the housing market. Are home sales picking up in this environment?
You know, in September, they had a big turn. We saw a 7.4% increase in home sales in September. That was the highest uptick since June of 2020, so over 4 years. We're probably going to see, the numbers aren't out yet, but we're probably going to see a dip in the month of October, just because the rates have skyrocketed in this last month. And the election, a lot of people are just right now sidelining because of the election. So we'll see sales drop in October. But I believe that the long-term forecast, the MBA just had their annual conference, the Mortgage Bankers Association, and they are very bullish on what sales are going to be in 2025 and 2026. And we think we're going to see much better numbers.
Interesting. By the way, folks, Dale Vermillion's here until the bottom of the hour. And so if you have questions on mortgages, refinancing, buying a home, selling a home, the housing market, anything in that category, Dale would love to tackle those questions. 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. We'll be heading to your calls here in just a few moments. 800-525-7000. Dale, let's talk about that housing market for a second. You know, in terms of home prices, obviously, home prices are sky high. You know, it's created affordability challenges, especially for first-time home buyers. You know, the fact that we've seen a leveling off of home appreciation. That's helpful, but no one's expecting housing prices to decline, right?
Well, they actually are. We actually saw for the first time 0.4 point drop in values nationally at the end of last month. That's the first time in, 12 plus years that we've seen that. Now, that's because listing prices are starting to drop because the market's been a little bit more stale. So listing prices are always the leading indicator to property values because as homes sell, that's what dictates the new values that you see after that. So we anticipate that we're going to see a little bit of drop in the market rates or the values, but it's not going to be anything substantial, and it's going to be regional. It's not going to be national. You'll see some regions that will have a little bigger drop than others, and some that will continue to increase where there's an area that people really want to live in, and it's a place that that they're happy to be.
Yeah. So what advice, Dale, would you give to someone trying to buy a house? Go for it or wait a bit?
Well, it all comes down to affordability at the end of the day. You mentioned the key word earlier. So look, we know that owning a home over time is a much better decision and investment than renting. Studies show that homeowners have 40 times the wealth over their lifetime of renters. You certainly want to build the appreciation. You want to have the value that goes with that. The key is what can you afford? Okay. You always want to look at, do a budget. We talk about this all the time. Determine what your housing payment is going to be. You got to have housing payment of some kind, whether it be rent or purchase. And then once you've established that, if you can afford to buy the home that you want today, then I would recommend that you go and move forward on it. Because the good thing about today's market, Rob, is that there's less competition because of where rates and everything are at. So you actually can get into a home. If you wait until rates drop a percent, percent and a half, it's going to be like 2021 all over again. And you're going to have 120 people bidding on a home. You're going to have bidding wars that will increase the values. And then even though you'll save money on the rate, you're going to lose money on the higher cost you're going to pay. So This is a good time to buy, but you got to be able to afford the home.
Yeah, and that is the key. Don't stretch to buy something you can't afford and then be stuck with that. This is one of the three big budget busters: housing, transportation, food. This one is harder to unwind. All right, in the next segment, Dale's going to take your questions. Lines are open, 800-525-7000.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at guidestonefunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
How will you decide which candidates deserve your vote on November the 5th? Not just for president, but for all the other races down the ballot that are more important than you might think and impact your family more directly. TV ads and candidate rhetoric are meant to sway your emotions. iVoter Guide gives you the facts so you can think for yourself. iVoter Guide shows you what candidates have done and how they are likely to vote if elected. Election Day is Tuesday, November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. With me this segment, my friend Dale Vermillion. Dale is a frequent contributor here on the program. He's our resident mortgage expert. He's the author of The Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. Everything you need to know about mortgages through the lens of a biblical worldview. We're talking mortgages, mortgage rates, and the housing market today. We've got just a few moments left with Dale today. And so if you have a question related to your mortgage, perhaps refinancing, buying or selling a home, we'd love to tackle those. We've got just a few minutes. We've got room for you. 800-525-7000. You can call right now with questions for Dale Vermillion. 800-525-7000. 7,000. Let's go to the phones. Virginia is where Carol is located. Carol, how can we help?
Hey, good morning. I'm so thankful to hopefully get some advice. I have two mortgages. One is my 30-year mortgage. I have 10 years left on that. Very low rate, very low mortgage payment. About 15 years ago, we had to take a second mortgage for some medical, my daughter in hospital. Anyway, that is the problem, the second mortgage. We took it out variable, so just within the past month, it jumped from like 4 to almost 9. I'm wondering if the best way to deal with that is to roll those two together or to just try to pay off that second one.
Yeah, good question. Dale, your thoughts?
So what is the interest rate on the first mortgage that you have?
It's like 2.65, really low.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, 2.65, 10 years left. You don't want to touch that. You're basically paying principal on that. So if you want to keep that one going. The other one, if it's a variable rate, you could look at refinancing that once these rates drop a little bit, or even right now check into doing a fixed rate, fixed term. There are home equity loans that aren't line of credits that can provide you with a fixed rate, fixed term interest rate on that and get you into a loan term that's short. And that's what you want to try to do, is try to get that short term so you can get out of that thing very quickly. That would be the way that I would approach your situation. And I hope that Helene, by the way, didn't affect you guys up there in Virginia.
Oh, no, we were a little north of that. But, yeah, definitely been down there to help out.
Carol, let me ask you a question. So are you on an interest-only payback at this point, or are you paying principal and interest on that second mortgage?
The second one is still interest.
So you're just paying interest only currently?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, Dale, with her interest-only HELOC variable, 8% currently, you're saying consider perhaps a home equity loan with a short payback period, but we probably want to wait until she can get an interest rate of what on that second mortgage?
Yeah, I mean, I would want to get my rate down certainly below, I think she said it was 9% right now. You should be able to do that potentially today with some lenders. If not, you should be able to in the very near future. The bottom line is, if you're paying interest only, you have an indefinite term on that. That term is just continuing forever until you start paying on principal. That's why you want to fix it into a fixed rate, fixed term transaction so you can get more benefit both on the rate and on the term too.
Okay. And what would be that interest rate you'd want to see from her if she's locking it in?
You know, I would say I would want to be somewhere at least 7.5 or less. To make that switch, because if it's variable, it's going to come back down when the rates go back down again. That's when I would make the shift.
Okay. Yeah. What are you at now on that variable rate? Do you know, Carol?
Oh, it's like 8.85 or something, almost 9.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'd certainly, I mean, because if we just ride out the variable rate, hopefully that's coming down. And so to Dale's point, if you could lock it in, I would hopefully under 7, which you may be, you know, on a second mortgage, you may still be a year away from that, but keep watching it. Look for that opportunity. Do you all have the cash flow where you could go ahead and lock it in with a shorter term, which means the payment's going up, but we're getting it moving in the right direction? Or are you kind of right on the edge with regard to, you know, what you have available each month?
Yeah, we do. We would be able to make either chunk payments or higher payments.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I think I'd be looking. I mean, I agree with Dale. Let's try to lock that in on a short-term basis and get that paid off much quicker. I'd probably be looking for something under 7 if you could. But we appreciate your call, Carol. Don't touch that first mortgage. Man, 10 years left at 2.65. That is a beautiful thing. And you'll have that thing gone in no time. We appreciate your call today. To Florida. Hi, Gail. How can we help you?
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call. How can Dale help you today?
I am trying to purchase a house, and I was checking out in New York in different areas. And as soon as I'm trying to pay cash, and as soon as I see the houses come up on the market on the phone, they're taken immediately the very next day by flippers. I was wondering, how can somebody get around that? And then when you do get a realtor to show you a property, it's not worth the price that they're trying to get for the property.
And you're trying to do this, Gail, buying in New York but living in Florida, so you're not even on site, correct?
Well, no, I took time off to be on site, and I have realtors checking it out for me.
Got it.
And let me know, and they want to do a video chat on the house to show the pictures of the house, but it's just the good ones that is worth something. I'm wondering how to outbeat the people right now buying everything and flipping it.
Yeah, I mean, Dale, this was a bigger problem, you know, a couple of years ago, more so than it is today, and yet it's reality for Gail. What advice do you have on these issues?
Yeah, New York's an interesting market. It's a super competitive investor market there. Did you say you were paying cash for this or you're financing this?
Well, I was paying cash, but being the way they were showing me what the properties look with the cash, I decided to see about getting a loan, and I was offered a loan.
Let's do this, Dale and Gail. I've got to take a quick break. Dale, can you stay around one more segment with us?
I can.
Awesome. Yes. Dale Vermillion's going to stick around today. In the next segment, we'll get his thoughts for Gail. How do you get around a hot market like New York when it seems like all the good deals are just going before you have a chance to get in? And how do you determine what the real market value is? Plus, room for more questions, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
Liberals are determined to fight any legislation that protects election integrity. That's why the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act has been added to a continuing resolution spending bill. The SAVE Act will make sure only American citizens can vote. States will have to remove non-citizens from their lists of voters. Please take time today to urge your representative to support the addition of the SAVE Act to any continuing resolution bill. Time is of the essence, so visit afa.net today.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, it's the last day of October. This is a really important day. We're a bit behind on our monthly giving goal of listener support for October. You could be helpful to us if you would consider a gift today before the end of the day. Just head to faithfi.com and click give. As a listener supported ministry, everything we do here at FaithFi hinges on, among other sources, the primary source, that is listener support. And so if you've found the program to be helpful, maybe you listen regularly, you've been able to apply something you've learned on the program, and you'd like to support our work, a gift today at faithfi.com by clicking give would be a real blessing. Thanks in advance. Dale Vermillion here today. He's a frequent contributor. He's the author of The Mortgage Maze. We're talking about mortgages and the housing market in this segment. Before the break, we were talking to Gail. She lives in Florida, but trying to buy a property in New York. And she's been struggling just because it's a hot market. She feels like the flippers are coming in and buying anything out from under her that's worth buying or priced appropriately. And other things she feels like are priced too high. Dale, what just kind of general counsel do you have for her?
Yeah, so anytime you're in a purchase situation like this, you want to remember what's called the three S's: the soundness of the buyer, the strength of the offer, and the speed of the transaction. Those are the three things that matter, especially in an investment property like this. Now, she did the right thing by being in New York. That was a good move to make. What she wants to make sure is that she's pre-approved, not pre-qualified for the lending, meaning that she has completed her application, provided all of her documentation, and everything's been verified so that the lender can move quickly. That's going to matter to the person selling the home. Yeah. And then it's just a matter of making sure that you're offering the right price that's going to attract that seller. That's really what it's going to come down to in the day and how fast you can close that transaction. So watching the MLS very closely, connecting with realtors both on the listing side. Listing agents are going to have some access to that a buyer's agent may not have. These things become important. If you stay in that market and you continue to watch closely, talk to as many realtors as you can, there's a good chance you'll get in a home if you've hit those three S's.
Dale, are you just trusting the realtor with regard to whether or not a home is priced appropriately? I mean, is that your primary source there?
Well, if it's an investment property, you should have done your homework already on what you're willing to go to, and then what is that return going to be on the investment? In other words, what is the normal rents in that marketplace? What kind of maintenance are you going to have? You have to figure all those things out in the front end so that you're going in with your eyes wide open to that, and you'll have a better handle on what that value can go to for it to still be a sound investment for you. Again, you create a break even on that so that you know what it is. That's the best way to handle it.
Yeah, that makes sense with an investment property for sure. Gail, is that helpful?
Yeah, that's helpful. Another thing is when you have more than one realtor up there, New York State's new law is that they get 3% of whatever it is. So you got to make sure that the realtor, you're not double realizing in one area. You got to draw the line of how far you're willing to look and go and how many realtors in each area.
Dale, any thoughts on that?
Well, since the NAR settlement, no longer is, well, there never was a 3% rule, but a lot of people thought there was. We actually have seen commissions have changed where they've dropped from 2.62% on average in the nation to 2.55 since the NAR settlement was settled on August 17th of this year. So it's negotiable. Everything's negotiable. You've got to remember that. But if you're going to have a buyer's agent represent you, you have to sign that agreement in advance with them to be represented. That's the way that the new law is written in that. So, again, it's just a matter of really watching the listing sheets, talking to people in the investment community, just getting the word out there to as many realtors that you're looking for a property. And then when they come to you with an offer, you can sign a specific contract for that offer or for that home. That's the easiest way to handle it.
Excellent. Gail, thanks for your call today to Mississippi. Hi, Sally. How can we help?
Oh, yes. Good morning. Thank y'all so much. I've already learned so much from just listening to the program today, and I'm very thankful for that.
Great.
My sisters and I are trying to sell a home that was my mother's. It's been unoccupied for over 10 years, and we're trying very hard to get it together, I'm going to say, for us to all agree and everything. So this is a small town, not thriving in a small town in Mississippi. And we are trying to figure out if we should get a realtor or just get an appraiser first. We want to try to sell it by owner. And I, of course, that was good about knowing the fees that you can negotiate. This idea of it being sold as is by the owner, or is it an advantage to get a realtor because they know so much more? Can you just give me some input that might be helpful about us getting this to a close, because the taxes and other expenses have gotten very high?
Sure. Sally, thanks for the question. Dale?
Sally, I appreciate that. And first off, yes, I would highly recommend you get an appraisal done. If you're not sure what the value is, you can look at comparable sales. But sometimes in small towns, that's not easy to figure out what it is. And you want to make sure you know what that value is worth, because you've got multiple people involved in it. It would only be a small cost to each one of you to do that. That way you know what the value is before you go in. And then, yes, you want to be represented by a realtor. They're going to have a better knowledge of the marketplace. They're going to be able to know potential buyers already that might be looking in that marketplace. Having that representation is certainly going to be helpful. And again, you can negotiate the commission with them. So remember that. If they tell you it's 3%, it doesn't need to be 3%. You can negotiate that.
Dale, with this property being vacant for 10 years, undoubtedly there's a number of issues there. How do you navigate what to fix, what to repair, what to renovate, and what to stay away from?
Yeah, that's the golden question. I would probably have somebody at least look at it that is a contractor or somebody who's an expert in inspections that can look at the foundational pieces of the house to make sure that, you know, the main things are foundationally in good shape. As far as the cosmetic stuff, you know what? You just have to make a decision. If you're going to do cosmetic work, keep it as low a cost as you possibly can. If you want to sell it as is, it may cost you a lot more when you do that, because when people walk in, a lot of people don't have the vision for that. And then an investor's going to try to buy it at bottom dollar. So my advice is make sure structurally everything's fine. If there's a big cost there, then you're probably going to want to sell it as is versus putting the money into it. Let somebody who can do that at their own sweat equity, and then you're going to be in better shape. If it's foundationally good, I do the cosmetic work, make it look really nice, and keep the cost down and sell it and get the better cost for it.
Sally, I think Dale's advice is great. I mean, doing some of this legwork in advance, I think, will really help you all out, both getting a contractor in there just to give it a once-over, you know, perhaps even an inspector, getting that appraisal done. And I think having that realtor who can really take responsibility for you to not only determine how do you price it, but showing it for you, especially if you guys are not in the area, handling the negotiations and the contract. Yes, there's some expense, but my personal opinion is you'll make that back in the form of a higher selling price when you get when it's all said and done. Sally, thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. Dale, it's been so helpful to have you here today. We always appreciate your insights, my friend. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Rob. Love and appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you as well, buddy. That's Dale Vermillion, our resident mortgage expert. Check out his book, The Mortgage Maze, The Simple Truth About Financing Your Home. We're back with our final segment and questions on any topic right after this break. Stay with us.
This is Jan Markell. Next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talked to Gary Hamrick about our dangerous times. Who could have imagined a world with no leader rushing to a cashless money system and about to be run by artificial intelligence, and with America facing her most important election ever? That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have Dale Vermillion with us today. I know it's been educational. I learned some things. We always look forward to our time together. But here in our final segment, we want to turn the corner and take your questions on anything financial. So you've got something going on in your financial life, we've got room for you here over the next several minutes. That number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing God's money, call right now. Let's head to Indiana. Hi, Ann. Thanks for your call today. How can I help?
Hi, I am just so grateful for you taking my call, and we appreciate your program so much.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about how we can work to pay off our credit card, because the balance is $15,000 usually, and we run about 11% interest. It's been that way for a long time. I have not asked for that to be reduced, but that's occurred to me lately to ask for that. The card is through a credit union. And while we're trying really hard not to put expenses on that, we also have one of our daughters who is 29 and lives and works in London, England. We subsidize her a little bit with the expenses she has of living over there. And she has a card, her own credit card from our account. We gave her that several years ago because of emergencies or buying plane tickets home. And she's putting some expenses on that every month. So if I try to pay $2,000 a month on that card or more, but the balance just goes right back up. And so we are really wanting to pay it off, but just it's been going on like this for way more than the years that she's had her own card on it. And we just are at a loss of what else to do.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things going on here. Let's start with that latter issue first. It sounds like she has a bit of a blank check. Now, I'm not saying she's just kind of running wild, but at the same time, it seems like we've moved beyond emergencies and plane tickets home. So what is, you know, starting with you and your husband, as you think about your own finances and what you want to subsidize, I mean, is she on a budget, and can you all afford to continue to do this? And what guardrails do you have about her spending?
Well, it's a good question. yes, there are guardrails, and we talk to her just about every month as a reminder. I photo her, the bill, so she can see all of the expenses that are on it that are hers. She knows it's supposed to be for flights home, which is only once a year, sometimes twice, but usually once. We've approved of that. My husband says, yes, you can do that for when you want to come home. She is on her own really good budget there. We do subsidize, not by credit card, but we do subsidize her living expenses a little bit over there because it's expensive. But as far as the expenses that hit that card from her, it may be an occasional Uber. It may be some travel other than coming home, which yeah. She is her travel. She loves to travel, and she does it pretty often. Those are all supposed to hit her, and she knows that. But some of them creep into ours.
Well, it seems to me like we need to change kind of the arrangement here. I mean, I would much prefer you guys decide how much you want to subsidize and then just do an automatic transfer to her checking account every month for that amount, put it into your budget, plan on it, count on it, but not have kind of this open-ended, you know, whenever she decides she wants to charge something, she does, and mom and dad are going to come through for me. Because you have to almost think about it. Not only is it dangerous for you guys in terms of your own financial life, I think it's really dangerous for her because we're not teaching her or reinforcing the right behaviors and the right disciplines around sound money management. You're reinforcing this idea that she really can spend beyond her means because, you know, mom and dad are going to backfill anything I can't afford. So I really don't have to think about, well, I'd really like to go on this trip next month, so I'm not going to go anywhere this month because I don't have the money to do it. And I'm going to save, and then I'm going to, you know, pay for it out of cash. And you know what? Maybe I can't even go next month. Maybe it's going to have to be 3 months from now, and I need to put away, you know, a third each month. I mean, none of that's happening because it doesn't have to. And that's problematic. So what I would do, and this is going to be a little bit of tough love and it would be challenging, but I think it's in her best interest and yours for you to say, hey, we're going to turn off the credit card. Dad and I have decided we're able to give you $200 a month for the next year or the next 6 months, and then we're going to evaluate it. It's going to hit your bank account, you know, on the first day of every month. And, you know, it's going to happen for 12 months, but we're going to have a conversation in 6 months, and then we're going to have a conversation in 12 and decide whether that stops at that point. And if, you know, you need to come home, let me know and I'll buy your plane ticket. And now all of a sudden we've turned this off and we get her into a situation where she's really budgeting. Then you guys build your budget, you know your expenses, you can live within it. Now all of a sudden we've stopped any charges on that card that are not budgeted items. And now that $2,000 a month is get this balance coming down to where it's zero. And then we're in a situation where the only thing hitting that card are budgeted expenses that get paid in full every month. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I'm still, or we are still concerned about how we can whittle the rest of that card down.
Well, at 11%, you're in great shape. I mean, most the average interest rate's 20 plus.
Right.
So if you're at 11%, I'd say leave that right where it is. It probably doesn't even make sense to go into credit counseling. The key is you've got to stop the bleeding. And that means turning off access to the card from your daughter and only charging budgeted items. So that way, any new charges that hit that card are things that are in your budget. The cash is there. You're ready to pay it off. And now if you've got a surplus of $2,000 a month, or whatever it is, well, if we've turned off any additional charging that doesn't have money already allocated to it, you're only 7 months away from that balance being zero. The problem is there's all these other charges that are creeping in, some you know about, some you don't, and that's why you're not making any progress.
Okay, I understand. Those are really good thoughts, and
I think the key, as you talk to your husband, is because, listen, these are not easy conversations. We love our kids. We want them to have the best. She's halfway across the world, you know, and, you know, we want to be able to make sure she has what she needs. And, you know, London's not inexpensive. I mean, it's an expensive place to live. But I think what you have to keep reminding yourselves of is that we're not doing her any favors. We're not setting her up for success in the future to be a wise steward. We're actually reinforcing the wrong behaviors. And that's the last thing we want to do. We want to get her to a place where she can manage this money the way she needs to now and in the future. And the only way to do that is to learn the hard knocks of budgeting and limited resources and saving and delayed gratification. And none of that's happening under this current model. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Good. Hey, I really appreciate your call, Ann. I hope this was helpful to you today. And if we can serve you in any other way in the future, give us a call. Let's go to Texas. Hi, John. You'll be our final caller. Go ahead.
Hi. I remember reading or hearing about investing in Israel, and I think it's a bond, and the amount is $107. It has some significance, but I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, you know, I would probably, I mean, unless it's just a real conviction matter, I'd probably stay away from Israel bonds. I mean, they have very limited liquidity. You know, they're somewhat volatile, especially with what's going on just geopolitically and so forth. I think perhaps another way to invest in Israel would be you might want to look at what's called the Israel Common Values Fund from Timothy Plan. It's a really compelling investment option, and basically it only invests in companies that are either domiciled or incorporated in the country of Israel. It's one of the only funds of its kind, and it supports the growing markets of this nation that maintains a common moral fabric with us here in the United States. But so I love the idea of being invested in Israel. I'm just not a huge fan, again, unless you just say, listen, this is a conviction and it's not really about the safety or the liquidity or the volatility. It's about being kind of, you know, locking arms with Israel. And then you could go to israelbonds.com. That's the Development Corporation for Israel, DCI, and they offer bond options and rates. So you could do that. But I would also, before you do that, check out, and if you just search in your search engine, Timothy Plan Israel Common Values, you will find all the details on that mutual fund. Hey, I appreciate your call, John, and I echo your sentiments about wanting to be supportive of the nation of Israel without question. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Hey, let me just mention one more time here before the end of the broadcast. We hear from so many of you that say, I love the program. It's been so helpful. What an encouragement. I've been able to apply what I've heard. And if that's you, this would be a really great day for us to hear from you partnering with us financially. Faith and Finance is a listener-supported ministry, and we're about, last check, about $11,000 behind our goal for the month of October. And so gifts of any kind, a $50 gift, $100, maybe a couple at $1,000, would help us close that gap throughout the business day today. That would be a real blessing. Just head to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give. And a gift before the end of the day today would help us close that gap and reach our goal for the month of October. Hey, what a joy to be along with you today. I'm so thankful to be able to be invited into your stories and answer your questions. What a treat to have Dale Vermillion as well. Let me say a big thanks to my team today. Devin Patrick, our producer, providing great research today. Taylor Stanrich, managing our phones. Just like every day, Sandy Dickinson doing an amazing job. And everybody here at FaithFi. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.